sending the messages bounced around fruitlessly. There had been suggestions that one or other party was withholding valuable knowledge. True enough, Sky thought, but no fingers had been pointed directly, and the conclave had ended in a mood of unease rather than outright hostility. All the ships had agreed to continue sharing their interpretation of the messages, together with the establishment of a special pan-flotilla expert group to examine the technical feasibility of the suggested modifications. It was agreed that no ship would act unilaterally, and there would be no attempt to implement the modifications without the express agreement of all other parties. It was even suggested that any ship that wanted to go it alone was welcome to do so, but they would have to pull away from the main body of the flotilla, increasing their separation to 4 times the current distance. "That's an insane proposal," said Zamudio. He was a tall, handsome man, much older than he seemed, who had been blinded by the flash from the Islamabad. A camera was strapped to one of his shoulders like a sea dog's parrot, tracking this way and that, seemingly of its own volition. "When we launched this expedition, we did it in a spirit of camaraderie, not as a race to be the first to claim the prize." Armesto squared his jaw. "Then why are you so unwilling to share those supplies you've hoarded with the rest of us?" "We aren't hoarding supplies," Omdurman said with little discernible conviction, "any more than you've been withholding spare parts for our sleeper berths, as a matter of fact." Zamudio's camera snapped onto him. "Why, that's ridiculous!" He trailed off before speaking again. "No one's denying that there are differences in the qualities of life on the ships. Far from it. It was always part of the plan that it should be like that. From the outset it was always intended that the ships should organize their own affairs independently of one another, if for no other reason than to ensure that not everyone made the same unforeseeable mistakes. Does that mean we all end up with the same basic standard of living aboard each ship? No, of course not. Something would be very wrong if it did. It's inevitable that there should be subtly differing mortality rates amongst the crew, a simple reflection of the differing emphasis placed upon medical science by the ship regimes." He had their attention now, so he lowered his voice, gazing into the middle distance while his camera eye snapped from face to face. "Yes, sleeper berth fatalities will vary from ship to ship." "Sabotage? I don't think so. Comforting as that thought might be." "Comforting," someone said, as if they had misheard him. "Yes, exactly that. There's nothing more comforting than paranoid conspiracy mongering, especially where it hides a deeper problem. Forget talk of saboteurs. Think instead of poor operational procedures, inadequate technical understanding. I could go on."
"Enough damned prattling," Balcazar said in a flash of lucidity. "This isn't what we came to discuss. If anyone wants to act on the damned message, let them. Are they more than interested in observing the results?"
But it seemed unlikely that anyone would be the first to make that move. As the captain had implied, the natural impulse would surely be to let someone else make the first mistake. Another conclave would take place in 3 months, after the messages had been reviewed in greater detail. The general shipwide populace would be informed of the existence of the messages sometime after that. The accusations that had been thrown around in the conclave room were quietly forgotten. Cautiously there was talk that the whole issue, far from heightening inter-ship tensions, might lead to a modest thawing in relations. Now Sky sat with Balcazar in the home-going shuttle. "Not long until we get back to the Santiago, sir. Why don't you try and get some rest?"
"Damn you, Titus! If I want..."